This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 373 in the series. This session has the third and final segment of the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, October 21, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. In this third segment, we cover the subcommittee reports through legislation for action and ultimately to the close in the meeting. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, to segments 1 and 2. So let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting, October 21, 2020. It runs approximately 64 minutes.
Okay, moving on. Subcommittee reports. Capital, I don't believe, has met. Budget, we
are not meeting, I don't think, in October.
I don't think so.
Correct.
Hopefully in November.
Thank you. EDC, Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had another listening session on Monday of this week with the restaurants and the hotel and the hospitality group. It was very long. I think it went for almost 9 o'clock, and it was very interesting. We got a lot of feedback. And actually, one of the things that we are going to talk about next is because of some of the things that we've talked about in these listening sessions. I'm looking forward to the next one. I don't remember, Jamie, when the next one is. Do you remember?
November something.
Yeah. it's been great to hear what we can do as a council to help the businesses in town. And so I think the next first legislation that's up is one of the things we think will help. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Okay, moving on. Legislation for action. Resolution 20-61. Authorization of town administrator to grant temporary food truck permits to Farmers Series licenses. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 20-61, authorization for town administrator to grant temporary food truck permits to General Law Chapter 138, Section 19 B, C, and E, Farmers Series licensees. Whereas the Massachusetts governor released an executive order stating that all alcoholic beverages may only be served in phase two if the licensee provides seated food service under retail food permits issued by municipal authorities, whereas Farmers Series licensees, General Law Chapter 138, Section 19, B, C, and E, who are currently unable to provide this food service due to no on-site kitchen facilities, are required to remain closed until phase four of the state's COVID-19 pandemic reopening plan. And whereas trucks are currently only permitted in the food truck friendly zone during special events, I now therefore be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Franklin hereby grants authority to the Town Administrator to grant temporary licenses to General Law Chapter 138, Section 19, B, C, and E, Farmer Series licensees to satisfy the requirement to provide food for on-premises consumption by contracting with third parties such as food truck operators to provide food on licensees' premises. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-61.
Second.
Motion and a second. Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is a small, minor economic development item that affects really and truly three businesses in town. This is just like the outdoor dining where y'all gave me the authority to be able to give the permits in an efficient way to folks who have outdoor dining. This would expand the food truck zone to accommodate essentially 67 degrees, as well as La Cantina Winery on Union Street. I think it's no secret to anybody, and we heard about this actually on Monday, coincidentally, some of those businesses may be having a hard winter. I think thus far, like any restaurant, but certainly those that don't have the food element, have had a decent summer. They've had the doors open, they've had things out in the back. But obviously, once it gets cold, those doors are going to have to shut. CDC guidelines are going to be much more stringent. And this would be an avenue, an option for them to be able to maybe stay open a couple days a week and be able to have a food truck outside to be able to complement their beverages inside. One other note that doesn't relate to this legislation, but I do want to just mention for kind of public information, it did come up at the EDC meeting about whether or not local catering would work for many businesses, not just these, but anyone. They did check with the Board of Health, and it is an option for any business to have catering come in if they have safe serve, kind of like tips training, safe serve licenses. It is not a 4-day or 4-week course. And so I did talk to the Board of Health about that, and they are going to support that. So businesses could, say, cater from another restaurant in town. The caterer could leave it on site as long as the employees there do have that training certificate. So we're trying to do a few things here, small things, but hopefully things that can still generate revenue for some of those facilities in town that may be coming up with, you know, a winner that may be struggling. You know, obviously, if anybody else has any other ideas, we're happy to consider them and should get in touch with our office or any of you to get in touch with me on ways that we can help businesses. This is just one thing. We know it's not going to solve everybody's problems, but for a few businesses in town, we think that this will be something that'll be helpful, and they have requested these. So we certainly hope that the council will approve this tonight, and we can try to work with them to get these licenses out the door. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Laura, I do see your hand up. I need to go to the council first. Councilors, Councilor DeLarco.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chairman. Jamie, we need to help these businesses out any way we can. Just for a note, I mean, this is going to be temporary for you. So when everything opens up and God willing, we all get back together and we can all do everything, it'll go back to normal, right?
Absolutely correct.
When the governor's
right, when
state of emergency goes away, so does this.
That's all. That's what I'm saying. We're just helping the people right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Council Pellegrini.
I may have missed it, but what are the three businesses? I heard you say La Cantina.
67 degrees. I'm sorry. The third one doesn't need, they can have a food truck if they want, but I don't think they need it, which is the Glen Farmer Distillery.
What is it?
The Glen Farmer Distillery, Old Encontro building.
Oh.
They have a full restaurant in there, so I don't know why they would want a food truck, but we made this legislatively working with the town attorney for what's called a Section 19 license, mm-hmm. which is a certain type of liquor license to the state.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is definitely it's almost strict. There's only two businesses that could use this or would need to use it, but they really need to stay in business. And I think this will be a good way to help them continue in business and they're just having a hard time. They can't hire another person to serve the food, right? They're firing people. So this would help them a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. There's a lot to this. I think I really want to help these two businesses. I'm not picking on La Cantina, but I'm just going to use them as an example. If a food truck was out in front of their business, I can almost count five food businesses around them. Hmm. Does that take away at all? I'm thinking of the other businesses.
Sure. Sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Attorney Sorrell.
So if you look at the way it's written, even though you've been talking about food trucks, it authorizes them to contract with third parties. So those could be, as was alluded to, a caterer, one of the other restaurants in the area, whatever. It's to overcome a local requirement that you have on-premises kitchen facilities.
Yeah.
Up till now, we haven't allowed that exception.
Thank you, Mark. Councilor Chandler, you still have the floor.
He kind of said what I was about to say. They could just have Acapulco's or 360.
Absolutely.
Bring it right. You know, they could almost call instead of putting it on the computer, they just call there. And that wouldn't affect those other businesses. Now, on the other one, the 67, I mean, I know he probably has no choice right now because it's the only way to get the food there. But also with that, who is the Board of Health certifying all this? I mean, they,
yeah,
I don't know who all these people are just coming into town.
Okay, yeah, they would have to get licenses from the Board of Health. So,
and I mean, you know, I mean, he's driving at 67. He's driving around where there's seats. I mean,
sure.
Can we get driver histories out of these people? I don't know how it all works. That's what I'm asking.
Okay, okay, Jamie.
So there's a $100 mobile food permit, vendor permit that you get from the Board of Health. They do an inspection, and it's good for a full year. So if a Franklin business developed a food truck, which we talked about on Monday, actually, to my knowledge, I don't think there are any Franklin-based food trucks. I've never heard of them. It'd be nice if there were some. But you would go into the Board of Health, and you'd pay $100, and it's good for an entire year. Mm-hmm. And so you could – originally, the idea is, and this is commensurate with all communities, is that in the non-COVID era, you're going to a town that may have weekend events every weekend. So you're not charging somebody $100 every weekend. It's good for a whole year. And they do a full inspection and all that stuff.
But to Councilor Chandler's point, getting the truck out and back, how is that all regulated?
Oh, I'm sorry. The truck out in the back of the brewery?
Or like 67 is in the back.
Yeah, they're just
with tables and chairs and all of that. That was his question. Part of his question.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure I fully understand. I mean, I think they just drive in, they park in a spot, and somebody goes inside or goes outside to grab a taco or whatever, you know, Asian fusion dish, and then they go back inside, especially if it's in winter. I hope that answers everybody's questions.
Yeah, all right. Councilor Chandler.
I'm getting a little overdone about that. I was just worried about the other businesses. If people saw a truck out there, would they, you know what, I'm not going to go in there. I'm just going to run over, grab this. I just didn't want to take anything away from
Understood.
The people that are hurting too.
Understood.
So that's just my point. Thank you.
Councilor DeLocco?
I know La Cantina is still, I mean, basically, I think he uses the Rome now. Oh. So, I mean, but this would make it okay to do that, if you know what I'm saying. I think he brings pizzas in.
Yeah.
From the Rome, if you want a pizza or anything now. So I don't think you'll see a food truck in front of he'll use local people. I'm almost positive. 67, I see what you're saying, but I know they just rented the other side of the building, so I know he's going to put tables and chairs in there for the winter, so I don't think you're going to see any outdoor stuff. Okay. You know, in the winter. So
questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good questions, Councilor Chandler. We'll go right around. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you. So one of the one of the concerns that I have, and you mentioned it, we don't have any local food trucks out of Franklin. Well, one of the reasons we don't is because we don't allow them to park their vehicles at their houses. And then we have made it incredibly hard for the caterers in town to actually be able to cook at their own homes and or find a place to have a kitchen that they can use, which is hampered, I would say, a number of our great cooks in Franklin from opening anything or doing anything. So it's certainly bylaws that we need to look at and revamp. And unfortunately, I think all of us could go around and name three or four people that we know cook and do catering inside their home that probably aren't supposed to, but they make amazing food, and I would eat their food every single day. So, but I mean, again, it goes back to, we need to look at that. And you know, we've had small businesses and small business owners in our community that have moved out of our community and gone to Norfolk or, you know, let's go with, you know, Attleboro to open up their small businesses, and we've lost them. And they've been incredibly good people who we've had, great citizens who gave back to our community, and we've lost those opportunities. So I think hand in hand, this needs to go with another bill. My question, and I guess it goes along with Councilor Chandler's question, and I don't know if I'm going beyond that, but part of the process of getting a food truck out of town into town, when we do the Board of Health check, do they also require them to go through a Cory check to make sure? I mean, we've got young kids walking up to these trucks, right? So are we going through a Corey check at the same time?
You don't do through you, Mr. Chairman. You don't do a Corey check for a food truck, but you're required to join them for ice cream trucks by state law.
Okay. And maybe Mark could answer, is this something that we could impose that somebody would have to do that with whether or not they're a food truck or not?
No, there's very strict, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Go ahead.
So there's very strict requirements from the state as to when Corey checks are permitted and when they're not permitted.
Does that include background checks, Mark? I mean, I find it funny that, you know, my ice cream vendor has to be, you know, make sure they're not a predator, but the guy who sells my kid a taco could.
You may well have a point. Ice cream trucks particularly attract kids, and that's where the focus of the legislature was. They specifically addressed that. Food trucks were a more recent phenomenon. So far, it doesn't seem to be a focus of children, so that's been below their radar.
Okay. My kids love that mac and cheese truck.
Yeah.
So. Thanks, Mark. I know it's not you. So I think this is great. Anything we can do to help all the small businesses. We have our small businesses are struggling. You know, my one question is now, let's say that you get somebody that calls you tomorrow that we approve this tonight. Somebody calls you tomorrow and says, oh, I heard the meeting last night and I would like my ABC business to be approved. Now we're waiting for this to be amended 2 weeks down the line. Is there a provision that we can put in that allows you to now approve that temporarily while they wait to get to a council meeting so that we're not losing out in 2 weeks of business when we know that the average small business only has 28 days of essentially reserves in hand? 2 weeks later, they're already blown through half their reserves and they're almost out of business if they're not out of business by now.
Mr. Chairman?
Jamie?
Let Mark go.
Okay, Mark, go ahead.
So to put this in context, it's not an overall problem for our other alcohol, our traditional alcohol licensees, because generally we require them to have food and kitchen facilities on premises, with a few narrow exceptions. When the Farmers Series was created and it was regulated by the state, they weren't required to have, when they had just their tasting rooms, kitchen facilities, and then when they could get a retail service or a pouring license, that food requirement wasn't there. Then COVID-19 hits, and ironically, the governor doesn't want bar rooms, so-called, and taverns open. So you have to serve food. But these places were allowed to open originally as an exception to serving food. So now it's a way to try to address the issue that the governor has imposed by providing food. So it's only a few establishments that are affected because they originally fell under an exception.
I take
you still have, you still have it. That would be your answer, I believe. Jamie?
The town attorney, well put. But to go to Councillor Kelly's question, one more step. Your question gets into the land of what does the town want to do about food trucks?
And
in the big picture, I will just tell you my opinion that I think there's an appetite in this town for a lot of people to eat at food trucks as well as every local restaurant. If you're going to go eat at the Rome, you're going to go eat at the Rome. If you're going to eat at Three, you're going to eat at Three. If you're going to go to a food truck thing at some business in town, whether it's one of these or Big Y or Poor Richards or anyone, you're going to go there to eat the food truck. And so the debate about the impact on local restaurants as well as how popular food trucks might be is something that we can't quantify. But I think what we've done, and we've talked about this for many, many years with many people in town, what does the town want to do about food trucks in general? It's clear we're behind the times on it. There's just no question about it. But the impact on local restaurants, it's hard to see. And if you allow them everywhere in town, do you start to get complaints from local restaurants? And, you know, this is something to referee. So we know we're going to get inquiries from other businesses, likely. I want to set up food trucks in my parking lot. And we've tried to do this to take another step forward. I don't have the answer to it. It's a discussion point. But I just thought I'd raise it because I think, Council Kelly, you're raising that point, which is if another business sector in town was to wait a month, well, that's a whole nother month they're waiting to get food trucks. So, you know, know, it's just something to discuss or think about.
Councilor Kelly, you still have the floor.
I'll just wrap up with this. So yeah, you're 100% right. Small businesses are the heartbeat of our community, and Franklin's been blessed to have a lot of them, and we need to try to help them as much as we can right now. What I would ask, because I think this is coming into this, is I would look, and I will bring this up if you'd rather, our future agenda items, sure. But, you know, again, but, you know, two things. I think we need to look at the bylaw that allows whether or not people can park their a vehicle in a garage or something in their house. And I think we also need to have our town attorney go out and find 7 communities, 10 communities that are similar to Franklin and bring their food truck bylaws to us so that we can review them and take the what's working and what isn't. And then we have an opportunity to call those selectmen or city councilors or town councilors and have a conversation with them. And they'll say, hey, listen, after 3 years, this is what I wouldn't have done. This is what I would do. But we need to start getting ahead of the times and not be playing the pickup game. So I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question to you, actually. Is it your intent to field all the questions from the council first?
Yeah, before going to the audience.
Fine.
Yes,
because I almost was curious to see what that young lady had to say.
Yeah,
I would just have to say, and I would like the floor right now, is this had a lot of pushback already historically from the restaurants in town. The brick and glass restaurants did not want food trucks, and that's why the bylaw became what it was and became very stringent against food trucks. I don't see that getting any better. If I was the owner of a viable restaurant right now, I think I would feel a little threatened by the food truck industry coming into the picture. Now, when I originally worked on this, Bobby DeLocco introduced me to the owner of La Cantina. We went down there, he had a great operation, and we thought the synergy was gonna be for these microbreweries and these micro distilleries. We thought the synergy was gonna be that they would go to the restaurants and the caterers to augment their food menus or to stay in compliant with offering food. Food trucks were never in the picture. So, and I can't see calling it a temporary food truck bylaw. I just checked Forbes magazine. It's a food truck can run $70,000-$80,000 a year. You're going to expect someone to go out and spend $70,000 to $100,000 a year for a temporary food truck in Franklin? So I don't know. I mean, I see it as a threat to the restaurants that have managed to hang in this all this long, and now we're going to go stick food trucks in the microbreweries and the wineries, and that's going to probably hurt them when those same people could be calling out to the caterers, calling out to the Rome, calling out to Acapulco's to bring us some food. That was the original intent of the bylaw that we did with Jamie's help, by the way, to help word this and phrase this so that these places could open up without full-blown liquor, without full-blown alcohol licenses or whatever. But we catered to a niche to create business. But the business was supposed to create synergy with the restaurants and food service. So that's my take on it. I think it will hurt a very weak lunch, even pre-COVID. I talked to a lot of restaurant people, and I said this at the EDC the other night. There's veritably no lunch in this town, and I don't blame the restaurants. I don't blame the public. We have a very dynamic town. A lot of people don't take lunch, or they don't have an hour for lunch. They only have a half hour. So you can only imagine what a food truck industry would do to these guys. So I just hope that we really look at this really hard, as Councilor Kelly said. Maybe do a little more research, but I can't see anybody going out spending $70,000 to $80,000 for a good shape food truck. That isn't even a brandy new one. That is just a food truck that would meet Board of Health standards. And I understand they also have to meet some standards through the building commissioner too. So at least that's what I was told, but I don't know. That's my take on it. I don't wanna see food trucks hurting the restaurant business. They're paying rents, they're paying mortgages, they're paying help. That's my take on it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, I yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just having listened to everyone's points and everyone's, I think everyone has a very valid point in regards to this. I think the one thing that seems to be missing, one piece of the puzzle, is that would we consider approaching the brick and mortar businesses here in Franklin, within the Franklin borders, to see if it even would interest them, the proposition of having their own food trucks. So for instance, the Rome,
all these businesses that are currently having no indoor seating because of COVID, that the, who knows how long this COVID's going to last for, if that would be an option or something that they'd be willing to take on with some obvious changes to our legislation so that they'd have the possibility to make that adaptation, but even approach the local businesses to see if that would be something that they'd be willing to do. You know, there's no reason why our local brick and mortar businesses couldn't invest in having the food trucks themselves for here in the town. They can be serving the town, serving their food, serving their wares through mobile services.
Jamie.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, really quickly. I think in that situation, it's certainly a possibility. I think in all likelihood, given the fact that most local businesses can do the catering, like the Rome has done,
yep.
And I think at 67 the other night, the owner was very clear at the EDC meeting how many other restaurants in town he's reached out to. Mm-hmm. I think he's had some success, actually, from what he said the other night on the phone. He's actually had catered from local businesses in Franklin. You know, it's just different tastes. I think he had a chicken and waffles one night, and I just don't think chicken and waffles are made in Franklin. So, I don't know. I'm just saying I think that he has reached out to quite a bit of them. Mm. They have had some success, and I know La Cantina has had the same thing. It's just another choice.
Yep.
Thank you, Jamie. And Laura, you've waited very patiently. Can you
unmute?
Laura Stevens, she had her hand up.
She's
not
muted.
She's unmuted.
She
can't hear you, Laura.
Now she's muted.
Now you're muted. According to the picture, is your volume up?
Waited a long time.
I'm sorry, we can't hear. It shows that you're muted. Now you're unmuted.
No, still nothing.
Audio.
Does she have a mic?
Computer, audio.
Yeah. Oh, now she's gone.
Let's give her a second.
Melody had a question. She's muted again. Now she's unmuted.
She's waited all this time.
Yeah, she has.
It's unfortunate.
She is still up?
Yep.
She's still there, but she's
unmuted.
We're not able to hear her. Is our phone line on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's that number?
Here, hold on.
553.
Yeah.
4826.
4826. Laura, if you can hear me, if you could call. Call in on our call line, which is 508-553-4822.
Repeat it one more time.
Again, 508-553.
Whoop.
There you were.
There you are.
Briefly.
Sir, I'm sorry. Yeah. Excuse my language. If Mr. Chairman, can you hear me, sir?
We can now, Laura.
I apologize for any foul language that came out of my mouth. I...
Oh, we didn't hear any. You want to start over?
No, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and may it please the town council. My camera is no longer working because I tried to reset everything. For the record, I am Laura Michelle Stevens. I live at 140 Dean Avenue here in Franklin. I own the Moonlight Chef LLC, which is a private chef and catering company here in Franklin that works primarily out of my clients' homes, and due to COVID has been very broken this year. Broken is a kind term. I'm going to take a severe loss. I normally have up to 80 or 90 jobs. By this time of the year, I'm up to 23 jobs for my clients. I am ServSafe certified. I have multiple distinctions as far as licensing and certifications for food safety and other things that need to be done through the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I am not a bartender. I am not a bar service. I am a private chef and a caterer. COVID has left this entire industry broken. I'm strongly against this move to have food trucks. All of a sudden, this town wants food trucks. This town did not want food trucks for years and years. I have been living in Franklin. We moved here September 10th, 2014. My husband and I, we started a life here. We love Franklin, but all of a sudden now we want food trucks, and I don't understand why they want to squash small businesses and family-owned businesses and restaurants like my business, like the Rome or any other that will not benefit. And if you think that I don't remember what council member said this, that a restaurant would all of a sudden pop up a food truck that if you do it properly can cost in upwards of $150,000 to do it properly, do a brand new food truck to do it, serve safe and everything, for refrigeration, flat top grills and Hobart steamers and salamanders and all of these things you need to do properly. You cannot expect a restaurant that is already a brick and mortar to go in and invest in a $150,000 food truck just so they can survive during this COVID, which is eventually going to end. This, in my opinion, is not our new normal. This is not the way this is going to be. This is my opinion. You can ridicule me all you'd like. That's fine. But there's nothing normal about this for our businesses, for our way of life, for our restaurants, for all of these people struggling. I am Teddy Gallagher's alumni. Not in Contra, they're not there anymore, but Glen Pharma Distillery, all of these wonderful businesses in Franklin that are suffering. And then you have myself as the Moonlight Chef, you have Kristen Precourt that owns K-Cooks, you have other small businesses, J&L Catering in Medway, you have Chef Barry Keefe of Dinner and Company in Bellingham. These are all small businesses and, you know, pop-up ideas that are hanging on by literally the skin of their teeth. Council, I ask you, this is not a good move to add food trucks to this town all of a sudden when the town was so against it for so many years. Why all of a sudden? And COVID has nothing to do with it. So I implore you to listen to the smaller businesses that are hanging on. I'm not speaking for me. I'm speaking for a lot of other people in this town. That people come to me because they want what I serve. They want what other small businesses serve. They want what La Quinta, Bob and Anna Vizella. I know them. They're good people. I love their products. These are good people. And I implore you to reconsider this because I don't think this is the right move for Franklin. And I've taken up enough of your time. And I thank you, Council, for listening to my plea. And thank you for being patient with my camera and my audio issues. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Any other questions or comments from the Council? Councilor Pellegrini.
I think she has some great points. I agreed with so much that Councilor Bizzanti said, and also Councilor Jones. I don't think this is something to be voted on tonight. I think that we should get some feedback from some of the restaurants and all because they are doing so poorly right now. Let's give them a chance to talk and just postpone this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure that we understand that this actually allows people to contract third parties so that they could do
catering.
Mm-hmm. Right? So like Laura could actually cater for 67 degrees, which would be awesome, right? So one of the things that they find is that the restaurant can't give up their personnel for 9 hours or for 6 hours. And so if we could make it so that Laura could be at 67 degrees, that would be like two people, two things would, two wins, right? So, you know, we could talk about it more. And, but I think maybe we can get all these people connected together somehow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor DeLarco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, that, Melanie, that might be a better point. Maybe we get rid of the food trucks and we work maybe, would it be okay if 67 set up a buffet from the Rome, would they be able to stay open?
These are foods.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, they can get a retail food permit with the Safe Serve training now.
So they could do that and they'd be legal.
Yep.
So that might be a way to go, I would say. And then we wouldn't have to worry about the food truck. And Laurie could maybe get a job, you know, get you know, Saturday night mm-hmm. up there or something. You yeah. know what I mean?
Okay.
Wait.
She's going to say something?
No. No, I think she was still not muted. Any other questions? We have a motion and a second on the floor.
It's a question.
Oh, question.
Hand. Somebody has a hand up.
No.
Kobe.
Oh, okay. We have a hand up. Kobe Frangillo, if you could unmute yourself.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Sorry, you're on the phone. So you're very, very small. I just wanted to, just because 67 is not there and I'm a fan, just respond to that last point. So one of the things that they were finding is because they don't have a kitchen, many restaurants and caterers are not comfortable with a setup. We're not able to safely, you know, have a setup, right? So the benefit of a food truck to a business like them is it just opens up way more options for places to come in because it's already certified. They already have a safe kitchen. And you don't have to put a burden on a brewery like them to have a kitchen and have all of that. And this is all starting because the only way that they're allowed to stay open as an alcohol serving place is because they have to serve food. So just to keep those things in mind.
Thank you, Kobe. Councillor Kelly, one last yeah. shot here. We spent a lot of time on this.
I think Councillor Pellegrini has a point. I mean, it doesn't take us any time for 2 weeks to have ask in La Cantina and 67 just to be present on the call and make sure and let them advocate for themselves and let us know what they want. They're the small businesses. We're here to help. Exactly. I would love to hear from them and see what they have to say. So
motion to table.
I mean, I think if Councillor Pellegrini would like to make that motion, I have no problem.
Table it.
I'd like to table this motion, table resolution 20-61.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to table resolution 20-61. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 20-62, acceptance of easement on westerly side of Spring Street. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 20-62, acceptance of easement on property on westerly side of Spring Street. Whereas Lewis Street Realty LLC is the owner of a certain parcel of land located on westerly side of Spring Street and Franklin described in a deed dated February 28, 2020 and recorded at Norfolk Registry of Deeds in book 37693, page 216. And whereas Lewis Street Realty LLC having agreed to grant...
Motion to waive the reading.
Second.
Motion and second to waive the reading. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of waiving the reading signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I need somebody to move.
Move resolution 20-62.
Second.
Motion and second to move resolution 20-62. Vote will come on the motion to approve 20-62. And it's a majority votes required. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Zoning bylaw amendment 20-861. Zoning map changes on or near Oak Street. Referral to the planning board.
Move.
Clerk? No.
Clerk will read the roll. Zoning bylaw amendment.
Yep, sure, I will. Zoning bylaw amendment 20-861, zoning map changes from rural residential 2 and single family residential 3 to rural residential 2 or single family residential 3 in an area on or near Oak Street. Zoning bylaw amendment to the code of the town of Franklin at chapter 185, section 5 zoning map.
Motion to waive the reading. Second.
Motion and second to waive the reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Move zoning bylaw amendment 20-861, referral to the planning board.
Second.
We need a roll call to referral.
I don't know. No.
No. Okay. So the vote will come on the motion to refer zoning bylaw amendment 20-861 to the planning board. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Zoning bylaw amendment 20-862. Zoning map changes on and near Long Hill Road and Pleasant Street. Again, referral to the planning board. Clerk will read.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Zoning bylaw amendment.
I'd love to. Zoning bylaw amendment 20-862, zoning map changes from single family residential 3 and single family residential 4 to single family residential 3 or single family residential 4, an area on or near Long Hill Road and Pleasant Street. Zoning bylaw amendment to the code of the town of Franklin at chapter 185, section 5 zoning map.
Motion to waive the reading. Second.
Motion and second to waive the reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Move zoning bylaw amendment 20-862, referral to the planning board.
Second.
Motion and a second. Jamie, you want to give a brief one? Summary? No? Okay.
Good boy.
Referral to the planning board.
Yeah. Okay. Referral to the planning board. The vote will come on the motion to refer zoning bylaw amendment 20-862 to the planning board. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Town administrator's report. Jamie.
So based on the conversation we just had, good news. The governor's executive order a few weeks ago did extend indefinitely through the state of emergency outdoor dining. So folks may remember it was supposed to end in sunset on November 1st.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Now it just goes in perpetuity. So for many of you, like me, who want to go eat outside in the snow in February,
hey. You
have your chance. So you never know. I know there may be an eye roll or two here, but it's a good thing. You know, put some money in those pockets. Anyways, I think it's good news. And I know that was discussed before, so I wanted to update everybody. As everybody probably knows, we have 33 active cases in town. That's the highest total the town has had since Memorial Day. We do expect that to go up. The good news is it's not affecting any, there's been no pockets around any rec programs in schools or any of the big congregations like that. The cases have been isolated to small households, 4 here, 5 here, which are dedicated. So we're going to look at that data obviously closely in the coming weeks and hope that we don't go into the yellow or red any deeper. Just a quick reminder about the firefighter memorial on Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. at headquarters this Sunday. And finally, I'm sure all of you are going to say the same thing too. Please, I hope everybody goes out and votes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Future agenda items. Councilor Bisanti.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Kelly.
Just reiterate what I said about the food trucks and the catering, and not the food trucks, the trucks.
Kitchen
work vehicle trucks and things like that, and the
catering services.
Yes, thank you. Everybody's kind of filling in blank, so I'll just let it go.
Understood. Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Chandler.
Nothing at this time.
Councillor Hamblin.
Nothing at this time.
Councillor Plegri.
Yes, I'd like to see something on the agenda about the $522 million spear phishing incident that we had. I think that perhaps all of you have been getting calls from people. Mm-hmm. I certainly have.
10,000.
A lot of calls. And I just don't think that it's right that we keep it here. We've got to let people know what's going on. And if whatever is happening, we've got to let them know. So I would like to have that be a future agenda item.
Okay, thank you, Councilor Plegri. Councilor Jones.
No, sir.
Councilor DeLocco.
I'll just reiterate what Councilor Plegri said.
Okay. We'll move on to councilor comments. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to say I had a really good experience with the early voting. Quick question. Did anyone else early vote? Do you actually have to sign the
card?
The envelope?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So if you don't, when they open it, if you don't want people to know what you voted, you need to go on the voting day. Will you just stick it in the machine then?
No.
Go ahead. You really
you don't understand it.
Councilor Pellegrini.
All right. What happens with absentee voting is when you get the envelopes with the ballot inside, the envelopes are turned this way, ballot is taken out, and it's put over here. Okay. The next one is taken out, and you did it for me. That one's there. You never know who that person is because you have a policeman and you have another person around watching you take those out.
Signing it. Okay.
Yeah. But no. But turned now over. For early voting, you have signed, but you're not going to know whose ballot that is.
They have it turned over.
Yeah.
Okay.
The person who's working has been taught that's how it's done. That's how it's done.
That's good for people to know then.
Absolutely. Because that used to be a question that I got all the time too. You know who I voted for. Not that we cared who you voted for, but this is the procedure, you know, and I made sure everyone followed, and I'm sure the clerks have too.
Okay.
But it's good that everybody knows that
that's,
now.
That's good to know, really.
Yeah.
Thank you, Debbie.
Not like you would remember everybody.
You still have the floor, Councilor Chandler.
I'm going to run.
And lastly, you know, tonight the DPW director talked about what a drought we have. So I was a little disappointed in him that he decided, speaking of the election, he planted all that grass now at the high school that needs to be watered or anything like that. I think that was a waste of money right now, but I just want to say that since he brought up the drought.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to wish Councilor Chandler a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to thank all of the poll workers, all the volunteers that are helping us with our election. And to keep up the good work, I know everybody's working really late, but it's really important, and everybody should go vote. And I wanted to thank all the people that actually tuned into the listening session, and all the businesses. It was really great, and hopefully more will tune into the next one. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Pellegrini.
Okay, I have a few things. Museum opening. It's going to be on Sunday, November 1st, unless anything has changed.
It is not.
Okay, so we look forward to some people coming up, visiting our new gift store, because that's our major fundraiser. So come on in, look around, and enjoy yourself. Rebecca has done a wonderful job up there. She's our new archivist. So please, it's going to be open on just Sundays until further notice. No more Thursday night, Saturday and Sunday. The early voting, I wanted to make a point too that it's working out very well. I was up there and it went very, very smoothly. The grass planting was a problem because I've already got calls about that it's almost like, why did you do this? Just to keep people away from holding signs out there. Well, my question now is, where are people going to hold signs? They can't hold them in the driveway because it's less than 150 feet from the door. When I was there was one person holding a sign for Biden, and that was over to the, when I was walking down to the right, and there was no other places to hold them, you know, other than going up at the beginning of the street entrance and things like
that.
Personally, I don't think it's going to hurt voting at all by not having people holding the signs way down close there, because that used to be the biggest complaint. Can't you get rid of those people holding the signs?
The gauntlet.
Yep. Yeah, and they hated walking through there. So my suggestion to people would be just go out into the Oak Street area, the entrance to the school. That's where I always held my signs. So that would be for the early voting, the museum opening. Halloween, what's happening with Halloween? I have no answers to tell people.
It's open.
We're having house to house.
We don't choose Halloween. You know, the town doesn't.
We don't regulate.
We could, but we do not regulate.
We absolutely do
okay,
not.
Okay, so people can have Halloween going door to door. I don't think I agree with that, but that's a decision.
There's CDC guidelines on it.
And lastly would be school update. Anything new about that now?
With our
33 cases, are they students?
I don't know who the people are.
No, I understand that, but that's why I'm saying, has there been any kind of an update as to, without mentioning names of that, that considering, you know, that we may have to go back to just remote?
No.
That's a question for the school department.
Ooh, right, yeah. But Jamie, you don't know anything?
I don't think there's any, I think they're moving right ahead with the plan that they
have. I haven't heard anything
about going back. Yeah. I think if they get into the red, maybe there's a different discussion, but I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going really well.
And Mr. Chairman, you've been doing a great job as far as keeping us informed, but just make sure even on little
things we're informed. Absolutely. I'll call you.
Thank you, sir.
I try to as often as I can.
I know.
Sometimes too much. Councilor Bazanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, I want to wish my colleague and co-counselor, Brian Chandler, a happy birthday. I heard it was TJ Lynch's 50th coming up. Kudos to his birthday too. I got to hand it to you, Debbie, tonight. I don't think I've agreed with you so much in the last 8 years. This is like bizarro world. I'm agreeing with you so much, but I concurred on everything you said. As far as the polls go, there's also white dots in the grass and on the pavement for demarcation areas. So, it's not, I think in a way it's almost more user-friendly because now they don't have to run the gauntlet. And I think that was a lot of what was behind that. Don't tell me you needed to seed that lawn all of a sudden, because I mean, I'm not buying it, but this place is to hold signs. And there's a Biden girl down there every morning. She just stays right to the right of that dot. Mm-hmm. And that's the way they want it. That's the way it can be. There's still going to be room for tents, I think. Although someone told me no tents, but someone told me it's okay to have tents. I think I checked with Tom. I think I checked with you. And it is going to be tough to hold signs there and interact with the people, but they don't want to interact with us. I still find they still want to interact and they still have questions. So that's the good thing. Proud of this council. But again, Debbie, I totally concur with what you said. If we don't respond to the $522,000 that's missing out of our coffers, we will almost be considered complicit in it, and I don't think that should roll downhill on the council. So we need to address it. I don't know. I know we need to take advice from our legal counsel. I'm not told. Some of the worst advice I ever got was from a legal counsel. Hey. So, I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but I don't know how much longer we can hold out to the people of Franklin and just say it happened. And now we have to be silenced on it. So. I agree with Debbie. This has to be addressed under future business very shortly. We can't wait much longer. Tom, you and I have had these discussions. Yep. I've had them
we
with
have.
The vice chair. And I just think there is some urgency to this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Bazanti. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy birthday, Brian. Happy birthday to the police chief tomorrow. You know, the only thing I'll say about the downtown high school, as I mentioned to the town administrator, was I think there was a more aesthetically pleasing way to do what was done down there. That being said, please get out and vote. It's important. It's your civic duty. See everybody in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, happy birthday, Brian.
Thank you. You're going to get seven anyway, Brian.
I know. One of the interesting questions, Deb, it's funny you asked that question. Last week, we during the meeting with Governor Baker as part of Matt's campaign, my 9-year-old daughter actually asked that question of the governor of whether or not Halloween was going to be happening this year. And the governor's response, just to kind of give you some insight as to what he was saying, he said, absolutely. In fact, he would prefer it over large parties or gatherings at people's houses, because at least it's people are out, they're wearing costumes, they're wearing masks, already. You know, they're out there. They're getting in the air. They're out in the open. They're in small groups. They're visiting people. It's the preferred thing if they're going to have any trick or treating on Halloween over having large Halloween gatherings at people's houses. Those were his words, which are logical, and I agree with him. Canceling trick-or-treating, I mean, it's been a tough enough year as it is. That would be really tough for the kids to lose Halloween. I think even my kids are getting gray hair. But in all actuality, I can say, in all honesty, in the past month or so, it's been a little less than a month, that we've had in-person classes at my school. And I can assure you, one thing I know for certain, having just today just taught in front of 25 students, and tomorrow I have 50. It's a scary thing, but surprisingly has been working. If the procedures and the protocols and everything, everyone follows the guidelines and everyone follows the rules, it has surprisingly worked with very few issues. There have been minor issues, but nonetheless, they've worked. I mean, just by way of example, we have had to literally borrow our union hall, which can accommodate 850 people, just for 100 students. That's the scary part of what our school systems have to deal with, is finding the capacity and finding the means and finding the way to meet all those guidelines to even think about having our students back in the classrooms effectively and efficiently. It's a huge undertaking. I congratulate the school department and the school committee for having taken on that challenge. And I can't tell them enough how much I appreciate the hard work and effort that everybody's been putting in, the teachers, the staff, the administration, and the school committee, in regards to trying to find a valid and efficient way to teach the students in these scary times. And I hope and pray that, as we talked about earlier when we were talking about getting past the food trucks, and Laura's not wrong when she says that we are going to get through this, we're going to move past it, it's going to be a matter of time. But, you know, until we get past that point, I congratulate anybody who's working hard to keep everybody, keep their heads above water. I don't mean to be so negative, but it's the truth. And other than that, I hope everybody has a great Halloween and a great October. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy birthday, Brian. But
thank you, Bob.
Happy birthday to the chief, too. But, you know, I have to agree with Councilor Pellegrini and Councilor Bazanti that we have to bring that forward sooner than later. I think it's our responsibility to do that. Outside of that, I want to thank the poll workers and the clerk, Nancy. Me and my wife went down there today. It's a great job. Went nice and smooth. She's doing a good job. Election workers seem to be happy. So everything looks like it's going good. So that's good. And I have to agree with Councilor Jones too. Kudos to the school committee. I saw a couple of them the other night and really gave them, you know, kudos, because it's uncharted territory, and they're doing just it's just a hard time. But you're right, we'll get through this. As my mother used to say, this too will pass, and hopefully it will. So everyone else, please go out and vote and have a happy Halloween. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Happy birthday, Brian.
Thank you, Mr.
To complete the cycle, and happy birthday to the chief tomorrow. I'd like to thank, obviously, the chief, both chiefs, both Fire Chief Chief McLaughlin and Chief Lynch, bringing the pinning people before us tonight. It's been a while since we've been able to do that because of COVID, and those are one of the nice things, the feel good, as Councilor Bazanti said to me, those are one of the feel good things that we get to do. So I love having that back on our agendas. As far as the issue that Councilor Pellegrini, Councilor DeLarco, Councilor Bazzanti brought up, as far as the hacking situation, you all have called me on it. I have spoken to Jamie at length about it. I've spoken to our attorneys about it, and we will bring something forward. But again, we have to.
Legal.
To a degree, right. We have to listen to our legal experts because right. That's what we pay them for.
Absolutely.
As far as the election goes, obviously, I'd like to remind everybody, get out there and vote. You have plenty of time left for early voting through the weekend and into next Friday, I think, is the last day for early voting. I was fortunate enough to go down and meet Nancy, Jamie, Brutus, and TJ when they went down to look at the site and make the adjustments that the town clerk wanted to have made, which was the 150 foot marker. They wanted that identified. And rather than putting a snow fence around 150 feet, which didn't make any sense, the decision was made to put the hash marks at 150 feet every 10 or 12 feet, just so people see them. I agree with my fellow councilors. I had the same comment about the snow fence and the seeding of the grass and the timing of that. The response I got would be the response that everybody would expect. It's a perfect time of year to grow grass.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, okay. But still, having that mark, and it was surprising to see where 150 feet, and it's 150 feet from the front door of the polling place. And only because I wanted to make sure, I took a wheel down there myself and measured it after they had already, the DPW had marked it, and they marked it right at 150 feet. To Councilor Bazzanti's point, and I agree with him, there are places to hold signs. And I like getting rid of the gauntlet, and I was part of the gauntlet. So I like getting rid of that, not having that right there, giving people that want direct access without unencumbered access to the polls. That was one of the largest complaints that we received after the last election. So I thought our town clerk did a good job in identifying it along with the chief. And one of the suggestions that I made when we were down there, and I think we're going to implement it for election day, not necessary right now, but I suggested maybe taking the roadway that's within the 150 feet and use that for handicap parking. Uh-oh. Which would put people that very close to the door, they'd be inside that 150 foot. Mm-hmm. The police would be there, obviously, because we're going to have police inside and out, and I just thought it might add the additional parking spots we need for handicap right there, right in front of the door, and we don't have access to the golf carts this year, so I thought that might serve two purposes. So, and I think from all I've heard, I think the clerk's done a wonderful job so far. I think the townspeople have done a great job so far. We've got we have roughly 24,600 voters in town. And we're already at over 8,000 that have already voted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real nice number. It leads us to think that, not that anybody thought any differently, but we're going to have a really large turnout. And we could have as much as 90 or more.
32%.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. So those are all wonderful things. And just to expound on something Councillor Pellegrini spoke to early on, I'd like to offer the town's condolences to the Carruthers family and friends. Ellie was, as Debbie grew up, right not far from Ellie and Ed's house. They were Boy Scout leaders and Girl Scout leaders. Ellie will certainly be missed, and she was very involved right to the end. So condolences to them. And other than that, I think I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Motion and second, non-debatable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.